All right, Mr. Nethall, put a shot across his bow.
The forward gun thudded almost before Rainier had finished speaking, and he watched the plume of white water rise far beyond the galleon. Blade and her sisters had come from the Shumair yard in Caris. They were basically duplicates of Sir Dustin Olivier's design for the Royal Navy, but with a few minor changes to suit them for their private enterprise role. Their naval counterparts carried 14 30-pounder carronades apiece, but Blade carried only 10 carronades plus the long 14-pounder forward on one of the new pivot mounts. Rainier didn't know who'd thought up the pivot mount, and he didn't really much care. It consisted of an almost standard gun carriage that was mounted on a platform made of two heavy timbers, or skids, which were joined by four massive, evenly spaced blocks. The carriage had no wheels, however. Instead, it slid along grooves cut into the skids when it recoiled. The skids themselves were secured to the deck by a pivot pin through the rearmost connecting block. The pin passed through the deck, and its lower end was secured to a 2-foot square timber. The point at which it passed through the deck was strengthened by a massive cast iron socket that extended halfway through the below deck's timber, and its upper end was heavily bushed where it joined to the skids, since it took the majority of the recoil forces when the gun fired. Caster wheels under the skid's front end rode a circular iron rail set into the deck, and by moving the front end along the rail and pivoting on the rear end, the entire mount could be trained around through a theoretical arc of 360 degrees, although the ship's bowsprit and rigging blocked certain angles of fire. Rumor gave Baron Seamount credit for it, but all that Rainier really cared about was that the centerline mount permitted Blade's single long gun to be brought to bear anywhere in either broadside. There were limits to the size of gun the mount could take, and the long 14 fired a much lighter shot than the carronades, but its range was longer, and it didn't really take the heaviest gun afloat to convince any reasonably sane merchant skipper that it was time to surrender his ship.
"How the hell did they do that?" Sinclair demanded. "Do you think I know?" Magee snarled back.
In fairness, he knew it had been a rhetorical question. In fact, it wasn't certain Sinclair even realized he'd spoken aloud, none of which made him feel any happier at the fresh evidence of yet another of the apparently unending, devilish Carisian innovations. In fact, this was the closest Magee had yet come to the new Carisian artillery, which he more than half suspected was the real reason for most of his irritable tension. Virtually everyone in the Dalaran Navy, from the Duke of Thoras down, was busy trying to downplay the effectiveness of the Carisian guns. Magee supposed that was inevitable.
"Obviously," he thought sardonically, "pretending the Carisian guns don't work is much simpler than figuring out what to do about them if it turns out they do work after all."
But it did damn all for the poor bastard who found himself face to face with them. He longed to pull out his spyglass and take a good long look at the schooner's armament, but spyglasses were rare aboard merchant ships at the best of times, and especially for one as deliberately down at the heels as Guardian.
"Stand ready, Mr. Sinclair,"
he said instead, then looked at his second officer.
"It's time, Mr. Jinks," he said.
"That's odd," Eccles Rainier murmured to himself as the galleon finally accepted the inevitable and hove to. He frowned, trying to decide what it was that was jabbing at the corner of his mind as Blade followed suit and Nethall and a dozen heavily armed seamen took the first cutter across to take possession of their prize. There was something. Then he found out what the something was.
"Now!"
Captain Magee barked, and several things happened at once. The waiting soldiers rose to their feet, matchlocks ready, showing themselves over the high bulwark, even as other, specially arranged sections of that bulwark dropped suddenly, exposing the cannon mounted behind them. The guns were only Falcons, throwing shot that weighed just under 8 pounds. Guardian was only a converted merchant galleon, after all. She hadn't been built with artillery in mind, and each of those guns still weighed just over a ton apiece. It simply hadn't been practical to put any larger, heavier weapons aboard her, and if even a tenth of the tales about the new Carizian guns was true, her broadside was going to be far slower firing. But the privateer had only 5 guns in each broadside, and Guardian had 18.